The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Fun. That's what Wednesdays are on the Chuck Oliver Show, because it always includes Chris Landry. Bottom of hour one, he is with us for two segments. Always appreciate him coming on and giving up his time. Jeff Cameron, we were talking a little bit about Marvin Wilson, Florida State, etc. Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show. It's on 97.9 ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. Shout out ESPN Radio in Tallahassee! Jeff Cameron will be on with us about 10 minutes. And then also Braden Gall, good friend of ours. He's up in Nashville, isn't he? Yeah, he's up in Nashville. He's the owner of 440 Sports, but also part of SiriusXM College, Athlon Sports, etc. Again, I'll be talking to him in just about 20 minutes, bottom of the hour. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
My goodness. Kansas AD, quote, Miles was vetted before hiring. No red flags found. That would be Kansas AD Jeff Long. And he's talking. And if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you know that we have a list on the side of our fridge. People who should stop talking in public. Because every time they do, they make it worse for themselves. Jeff Long should stop talking in public. Most recently, I thought it was a reasonable question. How did he wind up getting hired in the age of Uber background checks and everything else that an athletic department at a university is going to do before they hire somebody and give them a contract? Jeff Long says, quote, when Les Miles was identified as the lead candidate, 2018, University of Kansas, as with all hirings, ran multiple background checks on Coach Miles. Quote, I also asked Coach Miles directly during the interview process whether there was anything in his past that could potentially embarrass the university, himself, or program, and he said no. Also made public yesterday was that Les Miles had 3 years and about $8 million left on his five-year contract. Kansas and Les Miles have settled for $1.99 million. Jeff Long was asked, how did you vet him? And he said, background searches, etc. Quote, I also asked Coach Miles directly during the interview whether there was anything, and he said no. Folks, according to Les Miles' contract, if he lies to his superior, he can be fired with cause. If that's what happened, Jeff Long, why did the university just give Les Miles $1.99 million? I mean, we're getting... Does he understand the first rule of holes? Do we all know the first rule of holes? If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. He needs to stop talking. Because, I mean, literally, we're getting into Colonel Jessup's territory here. He said, what do you? He said, absolutely not. And in his contract, you can fire him with cause if he lies to you? Yes, we can. Why'd you give him $2 million then? I have no comment on that. That was his response, was, we'll let our legal team work through that. My goodness. Headline, Duke football pauses spring activities after COVID-19 cluster. There were 10 individuals. They had been to team meetings, etc. positive COVID-19 cases within the team. A cluster of 10. That's a big number, we think. As has been the case in the overwhelmingly huge percentage of cases involving somebody young enough and athletic enough to play football, for instance, at Duke. College football players, they're in isolation, and they have been, actually. They're in quarantine, and this was all February 26th, spring practice started, and this was 3 days after that was when the tests came in, and so they have been doing this. They've been in isolation. The interesting part is that Duke made the entire 2020 season with no pauses to their activities. So it just popped up, and the virus, it can still do. Even though it's March 10th, folks, we're tomorrow will be 1 year to the day from the, quote, shutdown. And then I think it was the next day, Thursday, this is when NBA was pulling teams off the court. The next day was at Fordham and St. John's at halftime. Like, yeah, y'all, come on, we're done. And now a year later, it's practically over, but got to get it across the finish line. And you see a team like Duke, for instance, a program had, I mean, screws down during the season. No pauses, made it through, played their games. And then for whatever reason, you get one case and it becomes 10. And they're like, hey, we're going to pause things. And it's absolutely the right choice. Final headline. Michigan AD. Football coach doesn't face wins quota in 2021. There's always a commentary when you could, depending on the legitimate questions you can ask. This is a legitimate question to ask. Hey, Jim Harbaugh required to win a certain amount this year? And Ward Manuel, Michigan AD, says absolutely not. They signed him to a new contract back in December or January. He will coach Michigan, according to the contract, through the 25 season. And Ward Manuel says, I'm thinking long-term with Jim Harbaugh. Not that I had gave him a wins quota in 2021. Again, buzzard's luck. You're in the same conference, in the same division, and your all-time rival is and always will be Ohio State. All right, that's a sack of squirrels to deal with. But he wins mostly everything else, which is not good enough at Michigan. Did I run out of music? Dadgummit. All right, consider yourself up to date. We're going to break. Come back next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Y'all know who Al Bernstein is? I hate to say this, it may be who Al Bernstein was. He was one of the boxing commentators on ESPN. Did you know that he was a lounge act in Las Vegas as well? Stand at Mandalay Bay years ago, and like on a Thursday afternoon, I'm walking through the casino floor, and they had this little lounge area. It was seating for like 20 people. Al Bernstein's playing piano there. Then that night in the Mandalay Bay Event Center, I went and saw Bon Jovi with like 20,000 other people. I promise you, our next guest, he's in the event center. All right. He is the headline at Tallahassee Sports Monster. It is Jeff Cameron, host of the aptly named Jeff Cameron Show. Brother, what's up?
I would have liked to have been there that night to sit down and talk to Al next to the piano with a frosty beverage or two, go over to the boxing history that guy has retained for 70 years of coverage. Did you do it?
Absolutely, I did. I had known him from being out there for fights before, and so I will tell you, Al is willing to drink on the job. So it was an absolutely fun time. Speaking of on the job, that's the Seminoles as of yesterday. And I got to say that probably the biggest difference between this year and last year, there was a real plan to have 14 practices and then a spring game. I think it's a month from today.
Yeah, I mean, that's really more than anything else a reason for, you know, the players and coaches and certainly the fans of the program to be excited, because they were robbed of an opportunity. And, you know, listen, you could argue so were a lot of other teams, maybe all of them. But when you're a brand-new staff trying to instill not only a new offense and defense but also a new way of doing things, in short, flip the culture, and you don't get that opportunity, well, really, you saw them swimming the rest of the year. They never really could get, you know, any solid footing.
All right, so let's start with, we've already talked quarterbacks, and I'm pulling for Mackenzie Milton, and I don't know if he's healthy, and everything else that nobody else knows. Let's go up one unit. The offensive line, there were times last year, and I'm not trying to be snarky here, they weren't completely crappy. But how is it going to shake out in 2021? Because we've seen so many of those programs, you kind of get some pieces in place, and then all of a sudden you got to replace one or two or three or four of them.
Well, here's the good news. Actually, that's the one thing yesterday the coaches that spoke to the press, including Mike Norvell, sort of addressed that I think, you know, when you kind of find a way through all the coach speak and try to find some sort of nugget that's real, if you're a Florida State fan, you're excited that Darius Washington was up 10 pounds, is stronger, and he looks leaner, even though he's put on the weight. And he's healthy, and there's a kid that was really kind of tabbed as a guy that could help solve some problems on the offensive line. So that's good news. He's back giving it a full go. Really, they return a lot of those guys that helped this offensive line go from terrible to, you know, yeah. I guess you would say, you know, like middling. We'll go with middling. It wasn't a great group, especially when it was an obvious passing down. They were a lot better in run blocking. They all have a chance to take a step forward this year because – you know, four of the five are back. So they should be all right there, at least in terms of growth.
Well, let's talk about the receivers, because it's something, and I was mentioning this last week, I never thought that I'd be talking about a Florida State program and go, man, they may need a few of the young receivers to step up. Jimbo hated freshmen by what everybody, you know, constantly said. Mm-hmm. And so it really wasn't a scenario to have, you know, two freshman receivers, for instance, step up. Give us a quick walk through that position group, because every time I talk about it, we don't get too deep into it, and then there's some early enrollees that get mentioned.
Good, Chuck. It's been a problem for some time. They lack speed. I would tell you that you've got an opportunity now with a quarterback in Mackenzie Milton who will get the ball out on time. They'll run a more conventional offense. You know, last year they had to do a lot of the midline stuff and use Jordan Travis's legs. When the ball's not coming out on time, it's hard to get a good read on your receivers. I think that's why it was such a hodgepodge of average. They're not dynamic at the position. You do have some kids returning in Keyshawn Helton, Ontario Wilson, guys like that. But that's the group that everybody circles and says, please show me something this spring to give us hope. Because right now, that roster is not very impressive at all at wide receiver. You know, to me, it's going to have to be one of the guys that did nothing last year. So, you know, maybe a Kentron Poirier or somebody like that, or a Brian Robinson, or one of these guys that you got nothing out of a year ago to come in and maybe surprise you because you got some consistency at quarterback.
If we look at the backfield, Corbin, Toafili, DJ Williams, that's deep, that's talented, that's different skills among the running backs as well. That looks to be a corner that the line was not horrible last year. It looks to be a corner they can kind of fight out of this year if that's what Norville and Dillingham want to do.
I think they're excited about that position. That's an area they ought to be excited about. I actually think they do have diverse talent there. You've got a guy who's you know, between the tackles, runner in Corbin, a big, strong kid. You've got a burner in Toafili. You're absolutely right. I think they've got some kids there, even at Ja'Kai Douglas, guys like that. They feel pretty good about the depth of the position, but also the versatility. You're spot on with the running backs.
If we flip it over to defense, one thing I was wrong about last year, well, at least where it would come from, I thought that Marvin Wilson were going to build out from there, and was it Durden's, and then there was transfers, and so I was like, they've got actually bodies and some numbers up front, and it was just real uneven. That's the word that I've been using, and Marvin Wilson in particular was disappointing. What about 2021? Why will it be better?
Well, it was terrible last year, Chuck. They didn't have a pass rush, and they haven't had a pass rush basically in 4 or 5 years now, and that's an area that has been addressed through the transfer market. You know, you certainly hope a Jared Jackson and guys like that come in and do something a little bit different for you. But maybe you get some speed off the edge. They haven't had it. And I think there's no way to address the failures of last year without noting that the two guys you just mentioned were two guys that you could bet that you could build around. And Durden and Marvin did nothing. They came into the season out of shape. They missed, you know, obviously nobody had spring, but when they came back home and got back on campus after doing that, they let themselves go. And so those guys were not productive. I feel like with Cooper in the middle, they've got an anchor there. I feel like they've got guys that, you know, Quayshon Fuller and others that they feel decent about. I will see. This is still not an elite group. They may have something from the transfer market right now. I'm suspect, as I have been the last 4 years, about where the pass rush is coming from.
Give me not the highest rated recruit, because that hasn't just, you know, it hadn't played out that way in the secondary. Give me the next superstar, and I'm not talking Derwin or Jalen, but just give me the next guy, like maybe the level below that, because those are all timers, but they keep getting talent into the secondary in the recruiting class. Who's the next breakout guy?
I really still think Travis Jay has the chance to be that player. When you see that athleticism in person, you realize that while that defense wasn't very well coordinated last year and they had problems that started up front, which affected the back end, you know how that works. When you can't go to the quarterback, nobody can cover for 6 seconds. But I really believe Travis Jay is an elite level player who has not had an opportunity to shine because of all the glaring holes on this defense. When Chuck, to see him in person, you would wonder how it's not possible that guy isn't an All-American. He can do things that some of the Seminoles of yesteryear that we put in that unique category of secondary elites can do. I think he can shine this year. If they get some semblance of a coordinated defense and a pass rush this year, he's going to make plays.
Last thing for you. I've never really been about, like on the show, I don't talk about like all the salacious background. I don't care about that stuff. I care how it relates to on the field. Your estimation, where is the, and I hate using this word because it's so nonspecific, but it keeps coming up. Where's the culture today, right now, with the program in Tallahassee?
World's better than it was a year ago because basically they spent all of last year running guys off and finding out who wanted to be here and who was going to buy in and who wouldn't. Last year became an awful lot about testing people mentally. Obviously on the field, the production wasn't there. They had to try to find a way to get the kids that made up part of a toxic locker room out of here that didn't want to be here. And they had to identify those guys. Some volunteered and left on their own. Others were kind of nudged in that direction. If you're a veteran player on this roster and you're going through what they call the climb and you're here for spring football and you're excited about the fall, it means you bought in. And if you're one of the young guys, you're fighting for a spot to play on Saturday. So we got competition in an area where they didn't have it a year ago. And you've got veterans, and it, you know, clearly if you're still here at this point after 3 bad years, then you care deeply about buying in. So I feel like that locker room is the one area that has been cleaned up pretty quickly. It's just a matter of whether or not they can get production on the field.
Jeff, appreciate it, brother. Do it again soon.
All right, be good.
All right, Jeff Cameron again from Tallahassee Sports Monster, where we are as well, but he's there first and longer and does a really good job as well. Yeah, that culture thing, it is so, so difficult to get a handle on, and it was supposed to be improving after some of the missteps at the beginning of the pandemic with the communication and everything else that came to light. It was supposed to be getting better, and that's absolutely not what was going on. When you're talking about transitioning to this season, though, and I said, you know, where is the culture right now? And the idea of spending your entire first 12 months, it was 12 months on the job, just having to filter out. And when you're talking about just the raw numbers versus the idea that you've got guys that if they're there, they're not grabbing the rope and pulling the same way, you find yourself in a no-win situation. And I think the Coach Norvell and that staff, they kind of were a little slow in believing how bad it was. And I don't blame them, by the way. It was hard to get a grasp on. And then by the time they did the season, I mean, the boat was already underwater at that point. So 2021, a lot of very tangible reasons it can be better.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Nine states, 51 sticks, talking college football. Do it every single day. I want to welcome on now from, he's the owner from, please. He's the pay boss. 440 Sports, also Athlon Sports, and the Cover 2 podcast. It is our good friend Braden Gall. Braden, welcome back, brother. How you doing today?
Oh, man, just living a dream. Just living the dream, baby. I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Doing pretty good. College football, it's real, and I have no expectation that spring practice will get clipped short. So let's jump into this. Vanderbilt. And I want to start because I know enough about the other schools. I have no idea how close Vanderbilt is to being a landmine again. They're not a good program. They've had some good seasons recently, but a landmine is probably the area that Vanderbilt lives in. I know Clark Lee doesn't want to hear it. Nobody up there wants to hear it. How close to being a tough out are they again?
Well, I think that's kind of, it's funny you say that, because I think that's kind of the goal for Vanderbilt this year, is to go from being an easy out to a landmine. I think you would agree. I've talked to you enough times. I think everybody knows that going from zero wins to three or four wins is a lot easier than going from, you know, nine wins to 12, right? So the first step is always the easiest when you're rebuilding a team, especially when you have a quarterback that's pretty much the guy. I mean, Ken Seals is clearly the guy. He's one of the better true freshman quarterbacks I've ever seen at Vanderbilt. So I think that they've built a really unique staff. Their approach is very unique. They're going very holistically and sort of creatively with how they're building their personnel staff. And Clark Lee's a heck of a defensive coordinator, certainly knows the area. So I think they will be better. You know, what does that mean? Are they going to win an SEC game? I don't know. I think the goal is to literally, like, win a game in the SEC. And if you can win a game this year, I mean, that would be considered a landmine, because everyone on their schedule has to look at Vanderbilt right now in a very tough league and say, that's a game you have to win. You know, if you're Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, there's not a lot of margin for error for those programs. So they've got to beat teams like Vanderbilt. And they're the worst team in the SEC. There's no question. You know, 0-10 is a dubious honor. But, you know, are they going to get back to where they were when James Franklin was there with some of the talent on that roster? I think that's doable. I don't think you can go 9-3 because you don't have Joker Phillips, Derek Dooley, and Will Muschamp coaching at Florida, Tennessee, and Kentucky. So I think that the bigger issue is that the league itself has just gotten significantly more difficult with the guys that are now coaching at the power programs. Florida has a guy. Georgia has a guy. A&M's got their guy. You know, I don't know about LSU. We'll see about Brian Harsin at Auburn. But the big six of the big seven programs, you know, have guys that we think are pretty good. So.
All right, Braden, you mentioned something there. It was James Franklin. The James Franklin, what an era. It was like a window. And he won nine games in back-to-back seasons, and that's not nothing. Then he took off because he knew that it wasn't going to happen consistently. But let's talk about that three- or four-year window, because you were talking about acquiring players. How do you do that in 2021, what James Franklin was able to do in like 2011, 12, 13, et cetera? How do you get a player who has an offer from Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida to go, yeah, okay, I'm going to Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about, well, number one, they're going to have to invest money. Like, that's the biggest problem. Like, I know everybody's very quick to compare all the smart kid schools and all the big leagues, you know, the Duke, Northwestern, Stanford, and Vanderbilt. They're quick to compare all of them, and Vanderbilt's by far – the least successful of the group. But the difference is when Pat Fitzgerald was leaving to take the Michigan job, Northwestern got its biggest guys, biggest boosters on a plane to fly to Pat Fitzgerald's house and say, Pat, what do you want? And they gave him a $360 million Fitz-Carlton facility right there on Lake Michigan to sort of continue to build the brand. Vanderbilt desperately needs that. They've got the boosters to pay for it. And they just recently changed a rule, I think in the last 6 or 7 months, that says you can now donate directly to athletics. Just imagine any other school in the SEC where when you donate, it has to go through the car wash of academia. Yeah. Before it gets to football. Like, just think about that. Like, if I wanted to write a check to Georgia or Florida, there's nothing. The university is not stopping me from putting that money into the football program. And Vanderbilt, they have been, and that's been changed recently. So they're starting to take some steps on how to big picture change the facility and the program, and that kind of stuff has to happen regardless of who the coach is. I also think that their approach as a coaching staff is very modern, and that means embracing name, image, and likeness. That means holistically approaching the student athlete's entire life, which is not necessarily how every coach views their student athletes. So that's the only way they can do it. It's sort of they have to zig when the SEC zags, because they can't compete with. They can't say come to Vanderbilt and play in front of 85,000 people. That'll never happen. James Franklin had to beg for people to come to the games. They were good, and they still had 36,000 with 3,000 empty seats. Like, you just, it's not the same. And so you have to take your strengths and your weaknesses. You have to take your weaknesses and try to turn them into strengths. And that's what they're going to try to do. And I do think that's a smart decision, but you got to have some money behind it to do it.
Yeah, I know. James Franklin, he would tour the fraternity houses on Thursday night when they would have like their date nights over there. And he would say, I want everybody who's in this house right now to be there on Saturday. You had the head coach at an SEC program trolling fraternity houses looking for attendance. It just boggles the mind. Let's head over to Rocky Top, and it's the same thing, but it's just for this year. With Vanderbilt, I'm asking, like, spray it out as much as you want to. When will they compete? For Tennessee this season, how much do you think they can compete?
I don't know. I think they're going to score points. I think they're sort of going to be, I don't want to say a poor man's Ole Miss, because I don't know what the quarterback's going to look like, but they're going to be basically Ole Miss of the East, which is definitely not where Tennessee fans view themselves and envision themselves, nor should they. But their defense is going to be atrocious. The roster's not there. I have no clue if the coaching staff is any good on that side of the ball. I don't, Tim Banks is a nice co-defensive coordinator. I don't know. Like, he was clearly like their seventh or eighth choice on the list. I just have major questions about that, because the offense, I think, will have an identity. They're going to score points. They're going to throw it all over the place. Josh Heupel's offense is fairly simple and precise, and again, works against teams with lesser talent. It's not going to work when you don't have a good defense against teams that have better talent than you. And right now, that's probably half their schedule. I mean, Pittsburgh and Ole Miss are the two games that you sort of circle and go, can they win those games? And that maybe gets them to a bowl game. Otherwise, they're probably better than South Carolina and Vanderbilt, but Missouri and Kentucky are clearly better. And so I want to see what happens at the quarterback position. It's basically the only marketable commodity you have. If I'm running media comms and promotions and stuff at the UT football department, I am trying to market the quarterback battle as best I possibly can, because that's really the only thing that you have to sell right now to either fans or recruits. So, otherwise, it's all just a vision. There's no concrete, tangible anything to sell. And so I think that's a concern. Again, I'm on record. I think the coach who gets Tennessee through this mess post-Pruitt and through the NCAA is not going to be the coach who returns them to the SEC championship game. I just am on record that that's two different guys. And right now, Josh Heupel is the one charged with sort of stabilizing things. I think the athletic department is far more stable today than it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago. I think that's a really good thing. And that's sort of the first step to sort of solving the last 15 years worth of problems at Tennessee is, actually have some leadership. Dondi Plowman showed some leadership and Danny White shows some leadership. Otherwise we've got it's a long ways to go. They're not competing with Georgia, Bama, and Florida anytime soon.
wrapping up with Braden Gall. Get him on Twitter, at Braden Gall. You can listen to him on SiriusXM, the Cover 2 podcast, outstanding. You can read him at Athlon Sports. You can even look at him if you really want to look at him. He's on Instagram, so you can get him on the Insta. Braden, we're wrapping up. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to talk about teams next time that can win a title, okay? But I want to talk about Shane Beamer because – you know that old saying, the next best answer to yes is no, because maybe doesn't do me any good. Shane Beamer got yes, then he got no from coaches he was trying to hire. It was even worse than Heupel. Talk about your impressions of where South Carolina is, and I'm not limited to 2021. I'm very skeptical about how this turns out in Columbia.
You're talking big picture with Shane Beamer?
Yeah.
I agree. The guy's never – called a play on either side of the ball. Listen, Dabo Swinney has won a national title, very unique, very special case of him taking over the right program at the right time and the right conference with the right plan. And, Sam Pittman in Arkansas, that's a CEO guy. He's going to have to keep Kendall Briles and Barry Odom around if he wants to be successful. I'm concerned if Arkansas loses those guys. We've seen what Coach O is. He is a CEO coach. Like, if you're going to be that, you can be successful and win, but you're going to have to hit on all of your coaching staffs. You're going to have to decisions. You're going to have to recruit like crazy, and you have to go out there and sell your product. And by all accounts, he's unified the fans and the former players in particular, and that's fine. And he was there during the 11-win season. But if you look at South Carolina, like, how many times is the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore, Alshon Jeffrey, Marcus Lattimore, whatever, all come out of high school in the same 2 or 3 year window in the state of South Carolina?
Absolutely never.
Clemson.
Yeah.
So it's a $4 million graveyard right now. And what sucks is that they've got great fans, great support, all the money in the world. Like, there's no real reason for South Carolina not to be good, but you're not going to go with Billy Napier and you're going to hire Shane Beamer because he used to be he was the recruiting coordinator for Spurrier. Like, I don't know. Now, this year, if there was a really good coaching staff in place, which there may be, there may not be, they got a ton of dudes coming back on offense outside of the quarterback. They've got a couple of five-star defensive linemen that are coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually have some pieces that if you believe in the development ability of Shane Beamer and his coaching staff, that you could actually start to see, like, they got a lot of pieces coming back. I just don't know how much I trust that coaching staff to develop everybody. And that's, that's what we're going to see. And if you can't develop, sure, he might be able to recruit, but you better have brilliant schematic guys running your offense and defense if you're going to be the CEO recruit guy as the head coach. And those generally, again, outside of Dabo and that one time that Coach O did it, outside of those two, like, largely that type of coach is not successful at the highest levels in college football.
Last question for you, and just top of mind, whatever your opinion is, what becomes of Will Muschamp going forward?
What's funny, like, Derek Mason now, former Vandy head coach, defensive coordinator at Auburn. Like, these guys don't forget how to coach, right? If you were once in the past a very good defensive coordinator, you are still a very good defensive coordinator. You haven't forgotten how to do it. Offenses, every offense and defense, they have to evolve. But basically, if you're really good, like Steve Sarkisian, it's not a surprise that Steve Sarkisian was a very good offensive coordinator for Alabama and got a head coaching job in Texas, right? Like, he's always been a really good offensive mind. He sort of was his own worst enemy for most of his career. So I would have no qualms about hiring Will Muschamp to be my defensive coordinator. But sometimes you get promoted beyond the point of competency. And there are some guys out there, there should be no shame. And we in the media and fans do this too. Like, we're all guilty of this. There is no shame in being a brilliant, like being Wade Phillips. There's no shame in being a really, really, really good coordinator.
Being Norm Chow.
You're not a head coach, okay? Sorry, but guess what? You're a brilliant OC or you're a brilliant DC, and that's okay. Right now in college football, those guys are making $1.5 million a year. So I would have no problems hiring Will Muschamp to be my defensive coordinator at any state U. I think his personality is, I think, underrated. Frankly, I think most people don't know him or been around him. They look at his red face on the sidelines on Saturday and think he's crazy. But by and large, he's one of the most well-respected human beings that people that ever work around him will say. So it's not the same as working for Saban, right?
So exactly.
I don't know. Like, I would hire him if I was, you know, if I was Brian Harsin, I would have looked at him. You know what I mean? Like, I would have no problem with hiring Will Muschamp as a defensive coordinator. He's just not a head coach. It's okay. You're not a head coach. You know?
It ain't for everybody. Braden, appreciate it as always, brother. Do it again soon. Thank you.
Yep, always a pleasure.
All right, Braden Gall again. Sirius XM, Athlon Sports, also Cover 2 Podcast. Is a busy man. That's a good thing to be. Will Muschamp, I've got no issue with him. I don't know what he is going to be motivated to do. Tremendous coach. And when he's an assistant, see, this is one thing that kind of works against. I don't know if this is why Rodney Garner's never been a head coach. I'm just picking a guy who's got a reputation as a great recruiter. Once you get named head coach, immediately you have different recruiting restrictions than the coaches who are on the staff. And it's about, you know, you get, I think this is still true. The head coach, you get one visit. The assistants, man, they're in the rental car. They're driving around going everywhere. But the head coach has specific. That's why we didn't see the you don't see the coach in waiting. Do you remember about 10 years ago? Probably the first 10 years of this century. It was coach in waiting. Everybody had coach in waiting. Will Muschamp, he was coach in waiting at Texas, wasn't he? Jimbo, coach in waiting at FSU. The NCAA changed the rule about, 2000. What was Jimbo's first year? 12? Maybe 2010 or so. Because James Franklin, I think, had been coach in waiting at Maryland as well. That if you are named coach in waiting, when that declaration is made by your athletic department, the recruiting restrictions for the head coach apply to you beginning that day as well. And so when a guy like Will Muschamp gets elevated to head coach, well, suddenly one of the reasons he got the job, he now becomes limited in being able to do it. So as Braden was saying, and he was taking it in other directions, plural as well, but he says, you know, sometimes you're just not a head coach. That may be Will Muschamp, outstanding recruiter and a position coach, coordinator, et cetera, and he can run a program. It just didn't work. So I'm just wondering what when I ask what's next for him, I'm wondering when he wants something to be next for him. Wonder about that. All right, we're going to break. Come back, wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I know it is easy to say, boy, it's a bad job. It's a better job than I think most people think. It's not a good job, but Kansas has more football tradition than Kansas State or Iowa State.
Chris Landry from earlier today on this here program talking about the Kansas job, and he says not as bad as some people are making it out to be. The coaches that seems either the public or the media is assigning the job to, they're not taking the job. And I mentioned this yesterday. We were talking with Dave Bartu, but again today, whether it was Jeff Monken, Troy Calhoun, Ken Niumatalolo, we always go to the service academies because they go weird on offense, and we think that the opportunity to jump to the Power 5, work with Paul Johnson, he jumped to the Power 5 and he was successful. They'll make some money and move on. Not at this point, I don't know. I have no idea where Kansas is going to go with this, but the initial list of candidates, again, that were reported – to be potentially of interest. None of those stories, I'll put it this way, none of those stories have really gone anywhere. So again, appreciate Chris Landry coming on. That is every single Wednesday. Also talk to Jeff Cameron from Jeff Cameron Show at ESPN Tallahassee. Appreciate his time today. And then Braden Gall, who's a very busy man from SiriusXM and Athlons and also the Cover 2 podcast. And so we bounced around. I'm going to say the SEC East, but honestly, the three teams at the bottom of the SEC East, what I expect to happen, just kind of getting the landscape there. So appreciate Braden Gall coming on. We're going to count that as my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. It's because I went too long in the previous segment. Whenever you need legal expertise, folks, does not matter. Wherever you are in the Deep South, it could be Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, wherever. You need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shannara and Associates. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. And, you know, the funny thing is, heading into the spring, I think that in normal situations, a coach would have a really tough time with a quarterback situation that Ed Orgeron is going to have, where it likely, and like I talked about earlier, it's the, oh, so-and-so is our starter. Well, in this case, he's likely going to go back to Miles Brennan. In certain situations like that, I think you would have a tough time selling that to the team, where if a guy, even as good as Brennan, came back, and the way that Max Johnson played at the end of last season, you're saying, wait a minute. This guy's going into his second season here. He won both of those games for you because they won that game at Florida because of his play. And also, too, I mean, Florida did make some mistakes, but still, he still was able to. I mean, Chuck, you had a true freshman in his own end zone throwing the football out. That's trust not only by Steve Ensminger and the offensive staff. That's also trust in a true freshman that, hey, we can call this play right here. He's not going to get flustered, and he's not going to cause us to completely lose our situation and to lose this game.
Yeah, that was the first series of the game.
That was. Wow. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the trust in him. But I think that it's also, though, it's the trust in Miles Brennan, because you do have an out here where you can say this guy not only got hurt, he gutted it out where he was playing with a torn ab muscle. So that's showing to the rest of the team that this guy, when you give him an opportunity, is going to ride for you. Chuck, in really kind of just delivering this point, I think that it is a win-win situation all the way around, because you've got trust in both guys, and at the quarterback position, that is incredibly tough to do, because one way or another, somebody will have earned it and had every opportunity to play. I think in this situation, though, with Ed Orgeron and with LSU, it is a, hey, he earned it. He had it taken away from him. He tried everything he could to keep it. He physically just could not do it. Now, let's give him an opportunity, see what he can do. Boy, there are a lot of coaches around the country right now that would like to have that situation, especially at that very important position.
I think there are two right answers for LSU, a quarterback. I do. Maybe three. Finley looked a little stationary to me. He moved, boy, he's got a Jurassic pace to him, doesn't he? But he's got a giant arm, and he's a big kid. So, and we were talking with either Moscona or somebody, might have been Moscona, who was saying that, no, there's not a whole lot of chatter about any of them leaving. So, I really was impressed with Johnson against the backdrop of being a freshman. Brennan as well, though. And I know it was Mississippi State, and then he got hurt against Missouri. Who was week two?
Week two was, oh, man. I'm
whoever it was, they were better. He was better in week two than he got credit for, because I've heard people say, well, you know.
Oh, it was Vanderbilt week two.
Okay, Vanderbilt. Well,
second half, Vanderbilt.
That it was, the Missouri game and big numbers and kind of inflated. I was like, no, he was good the previous week as well, and he wasn't bad against Mississippi State. And then the season ended. So, as we've said in the oddities that 2020 dropped in our lives, one of them in the sports realm, Miles Brennan, I think this is going to be his fourth year on campus or fifth, and he's played less than either Finley or Johnson as far as starting games. So, all right, wraps it up on the Wednesday, folks. Appreciate everybody being here. Hey, it's just 22 hours. I give you my word. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.